This is the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast from Taylist Media in association with KBB Birmingham 2020.
Welcome to the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast. I'm Andy Davis, and in this episode we're continuing our look at the design finalists in the KBB Review Retail and Design Awards 2020. Now, if you've tuned into the last episode, you'll know we were in Regent Street in central London for the kitchen judging. But today I'm in the much more sedate surroundings of Fulham in southwest London for the bathroom judging. I'm just outside our venue today, the amazing Rocker Gallery. Laufen are our bathroom judging partners for 2020, so a huge thanks to them for hosting us today in such an iconic setting. If you haven't been to the showroom, you really should. It's fantastic. A quick recap of how it all works. I think for those who, for some inexplicable and almost certainly criminal reason, haven't listened to the previous episode, we open the awards in September, and hundreds of designers send in their written entries. Our judges then go through every single one and score them across several criteria, and we then add up all the scores, and the top four in each category become our shortlist. Those shortlisted finalists then come down to these judging days where they get to present their project to the judging panel in person, one-to-one, or one-to-five in this case. So it's a real opportunity for those judges to get under the skin of the project, quiz the designer about the finer details, and really understand the full story of that project. So I'm going to see if I can grab as many people as possible as they emerge from the presentation room, see how it went, and maybe find out a little bit more about those shortlisted designs. Or they might shove me out of the way and jump in a taxi. There's no way of knowing, really. As always, the Kitchen and Bathroom Design Podcast is brought to you with the help and support of KBB Birmingham 2020. It's only a few weeks away now, March the 1st to the 4th at the NEC, and we'll be there recording live versions of this podcast every day at 2 p.m. in the Central Bar. So please come along, listen in, say hello, be nice. For all the info on the show, including registering your place, go to kbb.co.uk. Our first category for the day is the Bathroom Designer of the Year, project cost over £25,000. The finalists we're going to meet here are Tamina Moshahid from Amberth, here in London, Amy Stoddart from Daytrue, also in London. If you've heard the previous episode, you'll know she's also a finalist in one of the kitchen design categories. We've got Anna Resende from Ripples Bournemouth and Duncan Heels from Banyo Design in Glasgow. If you want to see images from the projects you hear about today, just go to kbbreview.com/podcast and click on this episode. Our first presenter of the day, and you've just come out of the judging, is Inga Coppola.
Yes,
but you're not the designer, are you? You're here on behalf of?
Of Tamina Moshahid.
Who can't be here today, unfortunately, but you are her boss, I'm thinking.
I'm the managing director.
Right, so you're in charge. Okay, so tell me a little bit about that project that's got you here today, or got Tamina here today.
Well, we worked on a bathroom for one of our local clients, and they were looking into this very, quite minimalistic, luxurious feel for the bath, and a bit of playful. Tamina, as she probably would say, had a lot of fun designing it because they were quite open-minded and wanted to bring different finishes, different products, and also kind of look at something a little bit out of the box. So we created, I'm kind of trying to make up a new word. It's not a bathroom, it's a bath room.
Right.
So it's kind of more a buffing. It's got a feel of a room. Mm. By bringing the wallpapers in and the beautiful marble and the lovely kind of chevron-looking flooring. It is a very luxurious feel, but because of the generosity of the space, it actually you walk into a room rather than a typical London bathroom.
When you get those kind of clients walking into a room saying, look, I just want something completely different, is that when your eyes light up?
Well, that's what we specialise in. We specialise in very different. So we've got few projects which we've done in the past, which are quite different. So we're very happy because we've got all the installers in-house and the project director, we can be quite daring with the installation. Of course, you know, the designer work is extremely important, but it has to be executed to to our standards, yeah, which are very high. Therefore, you know, you can have beautiful design and then someone comes and could ruin it very quickly. Therefore, we take a very careful... We carefully overlook the projects to very detail. And our project director, who happens to be my husband as well, is just obsessed with detail. So it's actually a pleasure to do it, to work on it.
Well, look, it's a fantastic project. So thank you for coming. Congratulations to both of you for getting this far.
Yes.
And good luck in March.
Thank you very much. We're looking forward to it.
Okay, second up today, we've got, for the second time, because you were obviously also at our kitchen day, we got Amy Stoddart from Daytrue. Hello again.
Hello again.
How did you find it the second time around?
A lot easier. I was less nervous.
You're in the kitchen category, you're also in the bathroom category. What's it like kind of having a foot in both camps? Is one easier than the other?
I think it's exciting. I definitely prefer bathrooms. Kitchens are slightly easier. Bathrooms have more challenges and you always come up against things on site.
So tell us a little bit about the project that's got you here today.
It was a whole house renovation and we were doing the master ensuite. Lovely space. The budget wasn't really an issue, so we could kind of go for it with finishes, Toto toilet.
So what were the main sort of challenges that you had to overcome in a big project like that?
I think it was just more about space planning and finding out how the client lives and how they wanted to use the space. They were both hard working, so they wanted to come back to quite a relaxing environment.
It's another great project. You've got a double chance of winning, so good luck on the night.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now I've managed to grab, just come out of the judges' room, is Anna. Well, Anna, you tell me your full name here.
Anna Resende.
No, it's not. Tell me your full name.
Ana Luisa Rezende dos Santos.
I'll call you Anna.
Okay.
Now, you're from Ripples in Bournemouth.
Yes.
If I've got this right, you're from Rio de Janeiro, yes, and now you live in Bournemouth.
Yes.
How did you end up there?
Well, first I came to London just because I wanted to change things, and then I ended up in Bournemouth for my job.
Do you play the slots down in Bournemouth? Do you go on the fairgrounds down there?
No, we just go to the beach, go for a run.
So how does Bournemouth Beach compare to Rio?
Different.
That's a very polite answer. But how did it go in there with the judges today?
I think I did well. I think they liked the bathroom. Well, I'm very pleased with my bathroom. I think it makes it easier because I really like it. It's a very special project for me.
It is a really nice looking thing. So tell us a little bit about it.
So my bathroom is an Art Deco bathroom. It's a very traditional English bathroom. Double basin, a bath and a toilet. My client didn't want a shower, although I tried to persuade him for. But I had to immerse myself into studying and learning more about traditional British bathrooms because, of course, I'm not British. So...
So did they specifically say, hey, I want an Art Deco bathroom?
They said they wanted to keep with the house style. The wife really liked Art Deco theme. The house is in a Georgian house in Bournemouth. So they had loads of wood panellings, very traditional. And they pretty much renovated the whole house but kept with the style of it.
So what were the big challenges that you had to deal with in the property like that?
Well, they had quite a big problem with asbestos. But for my side, for the bathroom side, it was mainly a challenge for me to design a British bathroom,
yeah,
to get what the client wanted without it being just something that he could find everywhere else, just putting traditional products around. So it was really like dressing the room and making the room look complete as a whole thing.
Look, it's a really nice project, so congratulations for getting this far. Good luck in March, and I'll just call you Anna, if that's okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, I've got Duncan Heald with me from Banyo Design in Glasgow. You've come down from Glasgow this morning.
I did, yes, on the trip.
What time did you get out of bed?
4:30 in the morning.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. So how did you find it in the judges' presentation?
Surprisingly okay. I just wanted to kind of try and take it like we would a normal presentation with our clients, but you know, there was a good few questions and luckily, you know, they were quite easygoing on me, so not feeling too bad at all.
Yeah, they're pretty harmless once you're in there, aren't they? So tell us a little bit about the project that's got you here.
The project was a lovely design, working with some fantastic clients, based around a lot of tech in the bathroom, the stone on the back walls, double shower, quite a high spec bathroom, and it was just a pleasure to work with and to try and tie it in with the renovations that were going on elsewhere in the house.
Because there's a lot of lighting going on in that bathroom as well, wasn't there?
There is, yes. It is on four different circuits, so you can, so it changes the atmosphere in the room depending whether you're showering or bathing or shaving. So we try to incorporate everything that we do.
So how much was that change in mood a sort of specification from the client?
It wasn't something they'd actually thought about, so we just introduced that to them with using the task lighting and then trying to create that nice atmosphere for when they are bathing, you know, and wanting to take a bit of time and relax and give it a kind of a spa-like feel.
And how much do you involve the client in those kind of projects?
Every client's different, but in this one we were really fortunate. Some clients get heavily involved. Even this one we were working, there was an interior designer involved as well. But to be honest, we'd taken the brief and then the first presentation just kind of hit the nail on the head with it, and there were very minor changes, if not just tweaks, to the initial design. They loved everything that we'd specified in terms of tiles, colours, finishes. So it was, yeah, we were really lucky on this one.
That sounds like the dream client.
And the nice thing is, following on from that bathroom that we've done another three bathrooms for the same client. So yeah, it's been a great relationship.
We can't ask for more than that, can you? Look, it's a great project. So well done for getting this far, and good luck for March.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm back outside here. For those following us on a map, the Rocker Gallery is just across from Imperial Wharf train station. Bit of history for you, for those revising for upcoming pub quizzes. We're right by Chelsea Harbour, which these days is a very wealthy area for luxury apartments, but it stands on what was once the estate of Sandford Manor House. And among other occupants, it is reputed to have been the residence of Nell Gwynne, the notorious mistress of Charles II. Yeah, you're bored now, but you'll be telling your friends that tomorrow. Anyway, back to the business in hand, and our next category, which is Bathroom Designer of the Year, project cost up to £10,000. Our finalists here are Nicola Holden from Nicola Holden Designs in London, Pippa Payton from Pippa Payton Designs in Oxfordshire, another one who is also nominated in one of the kitchen categories. There's Tim Baber from Angel Interiors in Bristol, and Zoe Curtis from The Tap End in South Wales. Again, go to kbbreview.com/podcast and click on this episode to see images of the projects we're discussing. Okay, now we've got Nicola Holden from our eponymous company, Nicola Holden Designs. How was your venture into the judges' den, Nicola?
I thought it went rather well.
Tell us a little bit about the project. Tell us a little bit about it.
It is in the Bathroom Designer of the Year category, under £10,000, and it was quite an eclectic project, full of colour and pattern.
So tell us a bit about the client then. What did they ask you for when they first came to you?
They had quite a large bathroom. It was originally the second bedroom in the house, but it had already been converted into a bathroom, but it just had a really poor use of space, really drab colour scheme, and it didn't meet their needs. They wanted it completely transforming, giving them something full of colour and pattern, a lot of international travel influences. So
yeah, and it certainly does that. What kind of challenges does that kind of budget present when they come with something that they obviously want something quite creative, they want some ideas. Does the budget create a challenge, or is that an opportunity?
Both, really. I mean, it's always easier to design when you've got a big budget, particularly if you're looking at the slightly more unusual finishes like brass taps and that kind of thing. So it was just clever sourcing and a bit of imagination and design to get what they wanted within the budget that they had.
It's a really nice looking project. Thanks for coming along, and good luck in March.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we've got Pippa Payton back here again today for your second go in front of the judges, but this time a different set of judges, because yesterday you'd had your kitchen category judging process, and today it's bathrooms.
Great to be back again today.
Well, it's great to have you back. Okay, you are an all-round designer here. You've been nominated for kitchens and for bathrooms. What do you think the main difference in challenges is for a designer that has to do both?
Funnily enough, I think they're similar. I think it is just about taking the brief, making sure that all of the things that the client requires and more is in each of the areas. Obviously, kitchens and bathrooms are different, but the thing that I think our kitchens and bathrooms stand out with is the materials that we use, which are different, and the original pieces that we put in them. So when we come and look at today's bathroom, although it was on a small budget, I used some different pieces, which I think makes it stand out.
I think one of the differences between kitchens and bathrooms, particularly the kind of things that you're doing, is that in kitchens you can go and get that furniture made. you know, you can have some influence over the actual furniture construction, whereas bathrooms, yes. Are you limited by what is available to you to use?
No, because we basically go about the same process with bathrooms. I mean, clearly there are basins that you buy and baths that you buy, but we still do a lot of bespoke joinery. So in this particular bathroom we're going to talk about today, we didn't because it was on a limited budget, but we have the same approach to bathrooms as kitchens. We start from a point of view of what do we need in the bathroom and how are we going to make that work. So we still do a lot of bespoke joinery, albeit we have to fit in basins, but it's no different to a kitchen.
So let's talk through the bathroom that's got you here today, because obviously in the kitchens you're operating at the right at the top of the market there, but in bathrooms you're here for the under 10k category.
Yes.
So talk us through this project.
Well, again, it's nice being the under 10k category, because I think we've managed to make a really luxurious and interesting bathroom on a limited budget. And the way that we've done it is we haven't used bespoke joinery and we haven't used lots of bespoke pieces. We have basically, the whole thing really revolves around a Scandi fresh feel. So it's an old listed barn. So we wanted to expose the heritage of the building. So we've exposed a stone, Cotswold stone wall, and we've put in a roll top bath. But we've also put some contemporary pieces in as well. But it makes the room feel very open because we haven't fitted too many things. The final thing is we have used art and sculpture, so kind of the artisanal feel, and vintage pieces like a vintage milking stool and a sculptor stand, both to reflect kind of the heritage of the barn and this kind of artist feel. So that's what I think hopefully sets it apart and makes it feel more like a room than a bathroom. It's a place to go and enjoy.
Look, it's a really nice project. You could be up on stage twice in one night. Who knows?
Thank
well,
you.
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Tim Baber here now from Angel Interiors. Now, Tim, you just come out of the judges' room. How did it go?
Yeah, really well. It was. It's always less and less nerve-wracking each time you do it.
You've obviously been a finalist quite a few times, yeah. A veteran, yeah. Of these things. What do you think it is that keeps you coming back year after year?
I just like to stay relevant, just to know that you're still up there and...
Because I think you really understand, I think, having watched you over several years now, of course, I think you really understand what clients need and want. You really get under the skin of people,
yeah.
Don't you?
You have to. I always say to people I work with, you've got to listen to the client's brief. And regardless of what you think or what you want to do, you can do what you want as long as it's what the client's given you the brief to create. Mm. You know, you're there to make their ideas or their dreams more than what they thought they could have.
Pushing them a little bit further, yeah. Than they thought that, yeah, they could
always.
Go with it. Yeah.
Always pushing them. I like pushing clients.
Right to the point where they give you the money. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the bathroom that's got you here today.
It was a very old 18th century manor farmhouse. Every wall was out. It was damp, dreary, dark. There was dark beams. The ceiling was low. I nearly knocked myself out when I first went in the room. So it was. There was lots of elements that were quite worrying at the beginning because they wanted so much. They wanted wardrobe space, they wanted a bath, they wanted a large shower, they wanted all this product. It's like, okay, so start here, and just organically it just became walk-through wardrobe into a master boutique feel hotel ensuite with the copper bathtub. We exposed the damp plastering into the lovely stone wall that it is now.
So was the architecture of that building the biggest challenge?
Yeah, it was. It's an old house. Every ceiling is less than six foot when you walk around. You know, it's like almost Tudor, I think. I'm not sure.
Nothing's ever straight.
Yes, nothing was easy. Nothing was straight. It was all the carpentry was made on site.
So how much of a challenge is the budget in a project like that? Because so many unknowns must keep coming up every day.
There's obviously unknowns like the damp and things. Well, we knew it was damp, but the nice thing is it kind of exposed something that was beautiful. So it was a little bit of an unseen. It could have gone one of two ways. It went the right way. The whole room went the right way, really, because the client was worried about building a wardrobe module in the middle of a space, which they were hoping to keep open. But then it created two spaces.
Congratulations for being a finalist again.
Yeah.
Good luck on the night in March.
Thanks.
Okay, we've got Zoe Curtis here from the Tap End. She's just come out of the judges' room. How did it go, Zoe?
Good. I think it went quite well, actually. Better than I was expecting.
Now, you've driven down from Wales today, all especially for this, so thank you for coming. Tell us a little bit about the project that you're up for.
So it's a small family bathroom with quite a large pitched ceiling, which posed lots of interesting design challenges on a modest budget. Mm. So, yeah, there was quite a lot of difficult decisions to be made.
Well, detail some of these challenges for me then and how you got over them.
It was an extremely dingy, dark space, like I said, with a pitched ceiling, and they only had two tiny little windows. So I suggested blocking up those little windows and putting in one large window in the main ceiling. So that really opened up the space nicely. And then I reconfigured the layout so that they were able to have a separate bath and shower, which they didn't have before. They just had a little shower bath, so not very practical for a growing family.
So when you're dealing with the kind of budgets that you're looking at here, and you have to sit in front of that client and say, I'd want to change the windows as well, mm-hmm. does that when they look a bit nervous?
Yeah, possibly. But when I showed them, because we have these 3D renders now to use to show people the ideas, it kind of wins them over then when you see them. And I was on budget, so it was fine.
The budget, I think, at this kind of level, the budget is always the biggest challenge, isn't it? So what did you do any workarounds to make sure you could achieve it while staying under budget?
Yeah, so every single decision I made was budget conscious, you know, having that in the back of my mind. So from the brands I chose, using entry-level products, using things such as not using a vanity cabinet, using a tall storage unit instead to maximise storage.
But I think that's when design at this level is really, really important, isn't it? Mm. Because you are dealing with the very restricted products that you could use. So you do have to design the room rather than just plan it, don't you?
Yes, yeah. So, for example, in this design, I added in like a nice long linear alcove across the whole wall, which was very practical, but it didn't cost too much to do that. So it's a nice little design feature.
Well, it's a really nice project. So thanks for coming down here to tell us all about it, and good luck in March.
Thank you very much.
OK, I've come back outside for some fresh air. It's lunchtime inside, so while the judges are eating and deliberating the winner of the last category, here's some more facts about where we are. I know you've been waiting. Fulham was the location of the UK's first speed bump. Yes, installed on Linver Road and Alderville Road in 1984. Yes, it was only 1984. And the first official amateur boxing match was held at Stamford Bridge Stadium in 1867. The Marquess of Queensbury provided the winning cups and consequently gave name to the Queensbury rules. Yeah, stop yawning at the back. This is really good stuff. Okay, I think we're ready to go again. The final category of the day is Bathroom Designer of the Year. Project cost £10,000 to £25,000. And our finalists are Keir Stanford and Alex Reichardt from Keir Designs in London, Rebecca Milnes from CP Hart in London, Candice Sevenus from Candy Kitchens in London, and Samantha Watkins-McRae from her own eponymous business here in, you've guessed it, London. So this is 100% London category. Let's see if we can grab them and hear from them now. OK, we've got Keir Stanford with us here now. She's just come out to do her judging. Now, Keir, you're here presenting today, but there's two of you who are actually up for the award.
There is, yes, myself and Alex Reichardt.
Tell us a little bit about this project, because, again, it's another one of these ones where it's very much in keeping with the building, isn't it?
Yes, we were doing a full-scale refurb on a townhouse in Notting Hill, and so it had its ravages of the 80s, shall we say, and it had lost pretty much all of its charm that should so much be there in, you know, 3.2-metre-high ceilings and everything like that. And so bringing it back to life and sort of putting some of the panelling and cornicing and everything in to make sure that it looks like it should, while still having all of the modern amenities, was really important.
What research did you do, or was this all come out of your head?
We worked, the project was for a property advisor, and so we had a very good idea of not just her as an end client, but actually the clients who were going to move into this property. So for us, when you know who is living there, how they are probably going to be living, it just narrows down all of your choices just a little bit, enough to make it still fun to do the design, but not necessarily sort of overwhelming in terms of, oh, where on earth do we begin? We knew we were going, some of the products that we were going to have in there to make sure it worked.
And what are the challenges for the architecture of that building itself? Did they help or hinder what you were doing?
For the whole building, the challenge is often making sure that the proportions work. When you've got tall ceilings and small rooms, everything can look a little bit out of proportion. So using panelling to make sure that we broke things up in a way that felt sensible but still maintained the proportions of the room was important. Using coving throughout the building that actually from the first level was the biggest version and went smaller and smaller as you went through the house and the ceilings got closer to you, does mean that it sort of plays a little bit of a trick of the eye, that you haven't noticed it, but you still feel like you're in very, very high ceilings, even though they've dropped by almost 70 centimetres. So that really made it very special to be able to bring all of those small details in, and then also being able to have really beautiful architraves and pieces around the door, just it finished it off beautifully.
It's a beautiful bit of work, and it's got you this far with this, so thank you for coming along today, and good luck in March.
Fantastic, thanks so much.
Okay, we've got Rebecca Milnes here now from CP Hart. Now, you've just finished with the judges, haven't you? How did it go?
I think it went all right. They're very nice.
Tell us a little bit about the project.
So it was in Burma Road in Stoke Newington, and it was owned by Marcus Fairs and Rupinder Fairs from Design Magazine. They're editor-in-chiefs of Design Magazine, so super sort of design-minded people. We did a master bathroom for them with freestanding bath, walk-in shower, double basins. It was kind of a modern, Victorian, eclectic mix of products.
Now, that's quite a client to take on.
Yes.
How much pressure did you feel?
To be honest, I didn't know who they were at first.
Googled them.
And then I felt the pressure, but they were really nice through the whole thing. They gave me pretty much good autonomy over what I wanted to do. They were very receptive to my ideas, so really nice clients to work
so
with.
So what was the biggest challenge that you had to get over?
We were converting a bedroom into a bathroom, so that kind of presented its own challenges. We had to get the soil out somehow to join it onto a stack that was kind of 5 metres away, so that was probably the trickiest part. Other than that, maybe the light. It was like a top floor back of the house bathroom, so we ended up opening the roof up as well and adding in the Velux window just to get a little bit more light in there, but really everything else went pretty smoothly.
So as a designer, when you get these clients walking through the door, what's the thing that really makes you just think, oh yeah, I need to get my teeth into that?
Just if they've got a good sense of design, if they know what they want, and we have a good starting point. And these guys were, like, amazing. They had a really good sense of design. So it was going to be a great project from the off.
Well, look, it is a really great project. Well done for getting this far, and good luck in March.
Thank you very much.
OK, we're at the end of the day now. We've got Candice Sevenis, who's just finished her presentation to the judges. How did it go?
I think it went OK. I was a bit nervous to start off with, but I think, you know, it was a nice bit of chit-chat we had, so it was good.
Always good. Yeah. Now, tell us a little bit about the project that you've been put up for here today, because it's a really interesting, striking bit of work.
Firstly, it's for a very old and good client of mine, which I really enjoy working with her. She tends to give me carte blanche, and I think I was a bit inspired by the 1920s Art Deco building, and that brought me on to then... And then also she specified the Betty bath with the black frame, so that set the tone, and I just had to tick the boxes and fill the get all the criteria right. It just falls into place.
Because it's literally a monochrome of monochrome bathrooms,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, where do you even start? Was it literally the bath that inspired the whole thing, and then you went out and sourced everything else?
Correct. Was the bath. And then to the extent that I actually had to get the tiles cut the same width, the border tiles cut the same width, because I couldn't source any anywhere at all. There's no black border tiles that are matte. It was really, really tricky. So I got those specially cut from big 600 by 600 floor tiles.
So what are the other challenges around that building? Because it's obviously been there a while.
Managing agents are really, really tricky. They're an old company. They're very bureaucratic. It was hard to work with them. But we managed to just sweet talk them and try and get around them. And then also the waste was really difficult, especially the location that we had to put the bathroom, because it was the only space really we had to try and get a decent... shall I say, upmarket bathroom and shower with double vanity, because the client wanted an ensuite for her target market.
I think sometimes with developers, they can play it quite safe sometimes. It's quite a brave choice. Probably some people love it and some people might not.
Well, we had three people fighting over it to rent it, so I think it appealed to quite a few people. One, because it wasn't monotone and stark, it was quite warm and inviting. And two, the client tends to trust me and just leaves me to it, because all the properties I tend to manage to get them rented and sold, and so she just says, Candice, just do your bit.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Yeah. Was one of those potential renters called Gatsby by any chance?
No.
Well, look, it's a lovely piece of work, and it's got you this far, so congratulations and good luck in March.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now our last presenter of the day, and in fact our last presenter of the 2020 Awards, Sam Watkins-McRae. Well done, you've completed the list.
Thank you very much.
Now, how did it go?
No, it went really well, and it was actually more fun than I had anticipated it to be. But it was interesting as well, being interviewed by people who understood exactly what they were speaking about, which was made it really relevant.
Tell us a little bit about the project.
It was the refurbishment of a Victorian family house in Hackney, and the client, who's amazing, and I've also done her soft package for her offices in Shoreditch. Okay. But basically, she's been in the house for quite a while, and she wanted to refresh the interiors, so we refurbished the ground floor space, and then the conversion of the top floor bedroom into the bathroom was stemmed from that, so we bought the colour palette and the finishes, etc., from that work, but then synergised it with areas of the house that were going to remain untouched. So it had to be functional, beautiful in terms of the respect of sitting with the new finishes and palette, but also a space that provided her with a dressing area as well as the bathroom.
So describe for me a couple of the feature products that you've put in there.
So there's quite a potent blue. So we use Stiff Key Blue Farron Ball for the dressing room storage and the bespoke joinery. We built a vanity area in the Stiff Key Blue as well, but with the pull-out drawers and then a Carrara marble top and quite a large mirror back glass panel. But then we had to think creatively as well about how the dressing room space could actually hide things like the WC and the shower, but then still not block the natural light of the large window in there as well, which was quite key for her.
Very sort of in-keeping design as well, which is one of the things I liked about it. I mean, it looks like it could have been in that house for a very long time.
Thank you. And it was important for her as well that the features were sympathetic to the period of the property and also the fact that she had certain rooms that we weren't going to work on.
Well, look, it is a really nice project, so thank you for putting it in.
Thank you very much for shortlisting me.
Well, good luck in March.
Thank you. Thanks, Andy.
That's it. We're all done. The presentations are complete. So before we all disappear, let's hear from a couple of the people I've kept locked up in a room all day, and that's our judges. I will take this opportunity actually here to say thank you to all our finalists and judges for their time and commitment. And remember, go to kbbreview.com/podcast and click on this episode to see images of all the projects. And please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You could always leave us a nice review as well. See you next time. We finished the judging. We're all ready to go. I've grabbed a couple of judges just before we finish. We've got Linda Barker. Hello, Linda.
Hello.
And we've got Vanessa Brady. Hello, Vanessa.
Hello.
So how do we think it's gone today? You've sat through all the presentations. What's your initial thoughts at the end of the day?
Personally, I've had a very interesting day. It was illuminating in all the very good ways. I thought it was fascinating. It's a terrific insight into the industry. And I'm thrilled to see the direction that this industry is going, because I think there's been massive changes.
What's your thoughts, Vanessa? You've been judging this for a few years now. What's your initial conclusions at the end of the day?
I have to say that everyone in each category was a winner. It was very difficult, and we don't normally have that. Normally, you can see an outright winner, but this year they were all stunning. We can see trends. We can see that the industry is actually improving in the technicality, that when they present understanding things like water flow, they understand electrics. So the design and the aesthetic and the budget and the planning is all part of the whole big picture that I would say, going back even 10 years, wasn't there. People just said, oh, I think we'll put the toilet over here. And now they understand that it's all connected with the soil pipe and everything. So the industry has definitely grown, the understanding has grown, and I think that the consumer's understanding of the fact that they can't do it themselves has also definitely been, they're aware now, aren't they?
I agree, and it's been lovely to see designers working with a tiny budget. So our smallest, our minimal category is anything with a spend up to £10,000. Plenty of money, you would think, but it's interesting that those people that perhaps might have tackled it themselves have had designers in. So they're maybe dealing with a £5,000 budget, so in order for them to make a little bit of money on top and all the rest of it.
And the installation.
And the installation. And a regular customer is coming in, finding a designer that will enable them to have their bathroom of their dreams on a decent budget. They appreciate the value that the designer has brought to that project. And I think that's really interesting.
One of the things that stood out for me this year, I think, particularly at that top level, is how they were quite, not old-fashioned, but they were not ultra-contemporary bathrooms, were they?
The whole flat pack, shiny, sparkly, new look has gone, and absolutely there's... And I always think you get that with a recession, that people want substance, and there was definitely substance in that. But there was a lot of history, emphasis given to the actual space and the architectural building that the bathroom's being installed in, but also longevity, and there was a lot about substance. And when people start to look back, and some of the designs, especially in tiles, are very much more geometric, there was a whole different feeling in to include texture as well as colour, but functionality and how long people are going to live with that bathroom.
And there's a lot of joinery going on as well. There's an awful lot of big furniture pieces in there.
Yeah, the joinery was spectacular, wasn't it? Lovely, yeah. That it's not just a set of boxes piled on top of each other.
And you know, it's bespoke joinery. Most of it was bespoke. It's bits in little corners and things.
But that's where a lot of the design elements come in, isn't it? Because obviously you can only do so much with the sanitary ware that's in there and the taps that are in there, the stuff that comes out of a catalogue, if you like. Mm-hmm. But the individuality came from sticking the bespoke pieces of joinery in there, in a way, a bit like a kitchen.
I've never understood why people didn't really do the bathroom first. And it's where you're most exposed. It's where people are naked, and therefore they should feel that they're most comfortable. I also think that there was a lot of emphasis today in the amount of light, natural light, into the bathroom. So people have, you know, designers have installed dormer windows in ceilings and walls and replaced them. There's a lot of emphasis on that, wasn't there?
There was a much more kind of sensory element than perhaps I was expecting, and it was a real joy to see. It wasn't enough now to have, you know, traditionally a hard-edged room and let's soften it with a round basin and a round mirror, perhaps. It was much more thought out, much more intelligent, and I was just thrilled to see the level of the interest.
The most interesting thing is that with us as a group of judges, each of us had a different view. When we debated, we all saw everybody else. I mean, I would say most of us came away with a different opinion than from the discussions, don't you think?
I think that's true, and that was what was really lovely about the day, is the fact that we all came to the table with very different perspectives. We weren't afraid to voice them and have a healthy debate around the table.
Thank you so much for your time. It's always so appreciated. I love the fact, Vanessa, that you hesitate to say the word naked.
You're so
polite.
Oh, really?
So thank you very much for your time, and I'll see you both in March. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you.